And I know it's a disappointing season in Detroit when you're not at least in this round, let alone the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm sure in a few days, though, and you've had a few days, you'll reflect on what an amazing series it was from a neutral perspective. You've been in some of these series before. The 0-2 one against Colorado, I always think about is, are you getting that? People are saying, wow, you know, just an amazing, amazing seven-game series without a dud among them.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, first off, you know, I think incredibly disappointed. I think I speak on behalf of everybody in our organization, all our players. You know, I think really going into game seven, we really felt that we had the momentum and we'd found our game and, you know, full march to San Jose, they found a way to win. But, you know, I think that, you know, certainly for the last week here, it was probably the first time in a little while that we were looked upon a little bit as an underdog because we'd been beaten by San Jose the year before and we were down 3-0. Mm-hmm. And for a week, we really had the city and the state really energized and the intensity, the emotion in the building in Joe Louis Arena in Game 6 reminded me of days gone by in the late 90s and early 2000s. So, you know, on one hand, proud of our guys. I don't think we had anything more to give. We left it all on the ice. But certainly, you know, we felt we also had a chance to advance and be playing. But, you know, that's what sports is about, finding ways to win, and San Jose didn't.
And injuries, never an excuse, but sometimes they're an explanation. Can you explain the challenge playing without Johan Franzen, losing Bertuzzi early in the first and losing Cleary at the end of the second? It put a lot on your big names who'd fought so hard to get back in the series in the third period offensively.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, obviously it has an impact, but I also think that's sports. You know, that's what this tournament's all about. In 1998, in the third round, when we beat Dallas out and advanced to the finals, they'd lost Joe Nieuwendyk, I think, a series before with an ACL. So, you know, injuries are a part of our sport, and that's part of being able to advance. So, you know, you'd love to be able to play these series where you're healthy and the other team's healthy, but that's not what this tournament is all about. So I thought that in the second period when we lost Bertuzzi in the first period for the game, we knew in the first intermission and early in the second when Danny Cleary left the ice, you know, I really thought that our young kids, you know, our vets played good, obviously Zetterberg and Datsyuk, our stars up front, but I thought we got great mileage out of Abdelkader and Helm and Eves and Miller and Chris Draper and you know, we were rolling 10 forwards, and I thought, you know, we outshot them 29-13 the last two periods, and we outshot them 17-6 in the second period. We had a tremendous push with our series on the line. You know, we fell a little bit short, but I don't think our guys had any more to give. Our guys gave everything they had. You know, you tip your hat to San Jose. We got to figure out a way this summer to try to get a little bit better so that we can go further than we did this year.
Well, Ken, even though he's in his 40s, Nick Lidstrom is still an elite defenseman. But as you talk about going forward and planning for the summer, what's the timetable, Nick Lidstrom and his future with the Red Wings?
Well, Mike Babcock and I met briefly with Nick after the team pitcher and exit day on Saturday, and he understands we need to know by July the 1st, you know, probably at least a week in advance so that we can prepare, you know, with or without him. So he's going to need some time. You know, the season just ended, I think, much like we need time to kind of get the emotion out of our decision-making process. He needs the same amount of time, so... You know, I would expect sometime in the first 3 weeks of June, he'll give us an answer. Obviously, Mike Babcock and I got our fingers and toes crossed that he wants to come back for another year. He's still one of the elite defensemen in the game today.
And he did that last year. If the news stories show, June 1st was when he made his decision. That gave you ample time. You even knew going into the draft last year that he was back and signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that would be, I mean, if you wanted a time frame, you'd like to know prior to the draft so mm-hmm. that, you know, there's, you know, starting, you know, with the draft, it's really when everybody starts to get engaged with, you know, the few days leading up to the draft, conversations about any trades or, you know, July 1st is unrestricted free agency. So, you know, Nick's got a good month here to make his decision, and he understands where we're at, but, you know, it's such an important decision for him and for us. I want Nick to make sure that he takes... plenty of time to make his decision.
You know, when you think about your offseason, Ken, you have other issues as well, and some players that are nearing the end of their time in the National Hockey League. And as tough as it is probably to admit for the Red Wings, because he's been such a big part of the team for so long, Chris Draper, you almost have a tough decision to make with him as well, do you not?
Without a doubt. Chris Draper, Chris Osgood, Mike Modano came to Detroit to finish, for an opportunity to pursue the Stanley Cup when he was born and raised here. And, anytime people are nearing the end of their careers, these are major decisions on behalf of the organization and behalf and the player, because it's such a special opportunity to play the game, and you don't want to walk away from the game as a player when you think you got something to give. And I also think we don't want to retire players too early when they've got something to give on the ice. And certainly, if they can give a little on the ice, they've got lots to give in the locker room as leaders. So, we're going to take some time here. I'm meeting this week, exit interviews with all the players this week. We're not going to make any decisions this week, but, I'll see what the players think and let them know what my initial thoughts are, and then we'll spend a couple of weeks here. But it'll be early June before we start to really sort this thing out. We just lost a tough 7-game series, and everybody's emotional. But, obviously, when people start talking about the end of their careers, these are incredibly tough decisions from both sides.
And it's so difficult, isn't it? Because it's catch 22. No organization's been more successful, more Stanley Cup wins, appearances, playoff round wins. And then people would look and say, well, but San Jose has this player, a Logan Couture, and they've got. And you must say to yourself, well, how would we get that player? By having a year where we're drafting fifth or sixth, and those have been impossible to come by in the last 20 years, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I think you've hit it on. I mean, we want to move. I think the last time we had a top 10 pick, and was in 1993, I believe, when we picked the 10th pick with Martin LaPointe.
Marty LaPointe, so, yeah.
We want to rebuild. I know that's not really the rebuild. We want to try to move younger players into the lineup, because that's the way you got to try to get better. We got to get better internally. We need younger players to take a bigger role, bigger responsibility. But I also feel that a big part of the success that we have had has been the veteran influence, going back to mid-90s when Scotty Bowman acquired a 35-year-old Slava Fetisov from the New Jersey Devils and put together the Russian Five. And, here we are today in 2011, 16 years later, talking about, 36, 37, 38, 40-year-old players. When's it time for the organization to move on? So, I don't have an answer for you. I believe in a veteran influence on your team. I think that there's only so much that Mick Babcock and I can do. If you've got really good veterans, they're sitting beside your young players every day. They're, to a degree, their assistant coaches. They're teaching them how to be pros. When the season's a roller coaster ride, the playoffs are a roller coaster ride. When we got down 3-0 to San Jose, there's no doubt that Nick Lidstrom and Zetterberg and Chris Draper, among other Thomas Holmstrom, that's who the younger half of our lineup looked at to see how they were going to respond. And our guys continue to take it one game at a time. But I also understand, in order to move forward, we got to figure out a way to try to get some younger people in our lineup. We don't have the blue chip young players. We have to kind of find players in the draft and slowly develop them. And then hope that you wake up one day and they're maybe a little bit better than you originally thought they were going to be when you drafted them.